Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone, it's Abigail from Millwall Lionesses. I would just like to say a massive thank you to all the Acton Millwall listeners for their fantastic support this season. Also, a big thank you to the guys that produced the podcast for all their hard work. Let's have a fantastic season together.
You're listening to Acton Millwall, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. Except no substitutes.
Good evening, listener, or good evening, good morning, I always do that. Welcome back to Millwall Acton Lionesses. I am your host, Ryan Loftus. I'm joined, as always, by Michael Avery. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm very good. We're recording slightly earlier in the week because our busy media schedule is getting to us. But no, very, very good. Very excited about today's guest, Ryan.
Yeah, me too. It's a Tuesday evening, a lot earlier in the week than we're normally doing. I've got plans galore, so I've had to shift it around, and thankfully we managed to secure one of the Jenks Landon sisters, Ellie. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. How are you doing?
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. I'm really good, thank you. I'm good.
Brilliant. It's excellent to have you on. We'll jump straight in. Obviously, there was no game this weekend, so we don't have any reporting, and we don't have any more refs to slag off or be edited out, or we don't have to keep Michael on his toes this weekend. It's a lot more casual, but we'll start off like we do the others. Just if you could give us maybe a potted history, maybe, Ellie, of your playing career to date and how you ended up with the Lionesses.
Okay, so I started playing when I was about, I think, 8 or 9, probably younger than that, but I'm not sure. And I started off at, so I used to play for a boys team, like a mixed team, but it was only me and my mate who played for the whole club basically as girls. And then from there we went to West Ham. Actually, no, I just went to West Ham. We got split up. I went to West Ham and I was there until the under 16s. I think it was. Yeah, I was there till under 16s. And then I wanted to go and play back with my friend that I played with when we were younger, so I joined her at Spurs, and I stayed there until until I was about 18 or 19, and then I joined Millwall, but the old Millwall. I know it's a bit touchy, but yeah, that one with Nick, and that's how I knew about this Millwall, because Nick was my manager at. Like 2 seasons ago, I think it was. I was at Millwall last season briefly, but that's a bit of a sticky situation as well. So then this season, Nick brought me back over, and that's how I ended up back at Millwall. Yeah, that's pretty
excellent.
Much
excellent. And funny thing is that you've done that. It seems like you must have read our scripts before we started. That's quite a pedigree in, of clubs that you've been at. I mean, even at youth levels or development levels or reserve level, to be playing at the types of Tottenham, as you say, and West Ham, you know, they're big names in the women's game. They're big names in the men's game as well. You know, they've got these great academies. You touched on there with coming to Millwall last season, or the sort of reborn Millwall, if you will. So you said it was sticky, so we won't go into too much of last season, but we obviously had some changes behind the scenes last season, a bit more structure in place coming into the new campaign. So what was it that made you think, do you know what, I'm going to give this club a go? Because as you say, when you was there a couple of years ago in the dev system under Nick, it was a championship level. So for your ability, that's quite the drop down, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's, when I came back to Millwall, the season after the split, I got injured quite early. So, in my opinion, my ability dropped quite a lot. So, I was injured from about, I don't even know, it was like September 2019 till about March this year, I think. So I was injured for a really long time. I twisted my ankle, like, really bad. But, and also, like, the ability in our team, I would say, is really high. I don't think I've dropped ability at all, because the girls that we play with, I would say that their ability is really high, and we could be in a much higher league if we want, if we could be, in my opinion anyway. So I don't think I've really dropped ability that much, down too much anyway.
No, indeed. And it's not so much the actual ability on the pitch, it's obviously the league we're in. And there are times where, as you say, you know, with your ability, that the way that you bum up and down that down on the wing, you know, you are clearly a very intelligent football player. One thing that is commented a lot of the time is when we play oppositions in this division, a lot of players sort of seem to need to have that look up when they get the ball at their feet. But a lot of the time you look up before the ball's even coming. So you seem to be a step or two ahead, which, you know, gets good plaudits. And you're quite a regular member of the side and the first 11 as it is. But last season, you know, as a club, Millwall, we played more of a 4-3-3. At times, we slipped for a 4-4-2. And now we're playing a very, not strict, but a very structured, either a 3-5-2, or you and Hannah drop back into the wing-back positions to make it a 5-3-2 at times as well. What do you think your game has changed, or how has it changed, should I say, with the formation change? Do you prefer playing as a wing-back rather than as a wide defender, wide midfielder?
Yeah, so when I played at Spurs, I was actually a wing-back. We played in the same formation. And obviously, it had been a couple years since I played there. But I do really like playing there, just because, even though obviously getting forward and back is difficult, it's a job that I like doing. So,
and it's one of those, Ellie, as well. Sorry to cut you off. And,
right.
And obviously, I'd like you to elaborate, if you don't mind. It isn't just me. But I always find with wing-backs, it's such a great position because you've always got something to do. You know, if you're a right-back or a left-back, you sort of play the ball upfield and sort of run up to the halfway line with your back four, and then you sort of stay there. If you're a midfield, you sort of wait for the defence to do their job. But if the ball drops back and you're a sort of wide right-winger or left-winger, again, you're more of an attacking role. But as you say, with those positions of wing-backs, it's, you've really got to be a sort of very intelligent, fit player to play those roles, haven't you?
Yeah, I would say so. Fitness is definitely is probably the major factor in playing that role, because it is a killer, I'm telling you. Me and Hannah, we finish those games and we are absolutely finished. Our legs are dead. So it is a difficult position to play, and I can agree with you on that. In terms of intelligence, I don't know. I've never been complimented on that before what you just said before. So I don't know. That's new to me anyway. So,
well, that £50 you sent me over before did help. So thanks.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Ellie, I would be interested in picking up on your, you know, a bit of that past experience. We've, you know, had a few of the girls on, and I think what's really interesting with, you know, women's football and a lot of the teammates of girls we've spoken to is their kind of pathway to get into the Lionesses. Some of them have worked their way up. Some of them, like yourself, have been through actual clubs and development systems and kind of settled at Lionesses. How was it, I guess, first off for me, how was the transition from playing mixed with boys to then going into a girls' kind of development squad at an actual club? How was that step? Because I know it can be difficult, you know, going from that mix and go maybe to a more structured system.
Yeah, it was a lot different because playing with boys is, I mean, we used to get so much, I'm trying to think of a word other than basically we used to get a lot of stick playing with boys. So yeah. It would be, we'd get on the pitch and they'd just be, you know, shouting abuse at us, like the other team and stuff like that. So for me, stepping away from a boys team was a relief, because even though we would play there and it was fine, we'd play well, you're just, when you're constantly being, you know, showered at and stuff because you're a girl, that obviously doesn't help with your confidence. Mm. So for me, switching to, like when I switched to West Ham, I loved it. Like that, to be honest, that's when I kind of fell in love with the game, when I went to West Ham, because it was just so enjoyable. It's one of them ones, well, I still have it now, but you wake up and you look forward to football training all day and you look forward to matches. So, yeah. I can't remember the second part of your question. Sorry.
No, I don't think I've got there yet. That's really interesting to hear, though. It's like, it is good to hear, I guess, because it is hard for, I guess, girls, especially at a younger age who are starting out in football, to actually find all-girl teams. And you see it even when you get to that 15, 16 age. A lot have to move to the States maybe to get regular football, especially, you know, a few years ago. But, you know, how has that changed? And obviously you've now come to Millwall, and there seems to be a lot of opportunity, a lot of teams around. How has that, have you seen that landscape change much? Or like you say, you're enjoying your football a lot more now. How do you think it's changed?
To be honest, I didn't really know much about like the opportunities in the women's game. So, because for example, when I was at West Ham, my friend, she went off and joined Millwall MCT, I think they called it, I can't remember, like the academy. And she went from there to Arsenal and is now playing football for Arsenal, and she's been to America and stuff. So, to be honest, I didn't really know about it. I didn't even know if you switched, because what seems to happen is girls switched at a really young age to these academy clubs. And then they've kind of worked their way up, is what I've noticed, with a lot of the girls that I know who are now professional footballers or off in America playing D1 football, like proper, like with really well-known universities.
Yeah.
So if I'm honest, I didn't really know anything about it. I just knew West Ham, and I just stuck with what I knew. It's the same with my parents. I think if my parents had known maybe a little bit more than they know now, and you never know, I could have been playing at a much higher level. But it's nice to see now the opportunities that kids have. Like, if I have a girl, I'm going to try and force her to play football and get into these clubs. So it is nice that that there are so many more opportunities.
And you're right there. I mean, we to a degree were not forced into a situation, but we were given the cards we were dealt, as you say, when the breakaway happened a couple of years ago, which we won't go on too much, but you know, we was used to a sort of Super League level, Championship level, national level, and then we had to actually really look at the regionals, which is something we never would have had to have done before prior to that. And as you say, it's actually quite nice compared to a good few years ago that we've actually got these regional levels and these regional leagues, which is great. You touched on just a second ago, which I'd like to go back to, that obviously Hannah is in the side as well with you, and listeners who are regular subscribers to the show will know that she's your sister. How does it feel playing on the pitch with your sister? It must be quite difficult, because I remember a few years ago, it was quite funny, when I played football, I played on the pitch against my cousin, and somebody on my team kicked him, and I got really, really angry, even though he was the opposition, because it was my cousin. Do you sometimes feel that you need to bite your tongue if someone like sort of leans in a bit too hard with her, or you know, puts in a late tackle, that kind of thing?
Well, she is my little sister, so anything that anyone does to her, I'm always going to have to bite my tongue. But she can hold. I have full confidence in Hannah. She can hold her own. She can fight back, especially on the pitch. So I don't worry about her, to be honest. Yeah, I've got full confidence because she's a really good player. So for me, I love playing with her, and I love being on the pitch with her, because it's the first time we've ever played together. So yeah, I really enjoy it.
Is there a bit of a sibling rivalry? Because even though you're obviously on opposite sides of the pitch, you know, one of you is left back, left wing back, one of you is right wing back, and sometimes you may change over. Do you know, sometimes the car journey back, does she give you a nudge and say, "Oh, you made a mistake this week and I didn't"?
No, it's you would think that we would, but we are we're actually really supportive of each other in general. Like, I'm happy for her, I'm happy to see her doing well, and it's the same thing with me. So if she's like, for example, she scored, and I don't think to myself on the car journey back like, oh, that should have been me. I think, yeah. Oh my god, my sister scored a really good goal, like, I'm really happy for her. I can go home, I can post the footage on Twitter, on Instagram, and I can say, like, that's my sister. So yeah,
and it was quite nice as well. One of the things pre-season. You'll need to remind me, who did she score against? It was Dulwich, wasn't it? Dulwich Hamlet.
I think it might have been.
Yeah, and I remember when we did the post-match interview with her, it was actually quite sweet because you sat in the dugout with her, just obviously, I'm not sure if it was a subconscious, make sure she was all right, but it was very much her interview with the media, but you were sort of there in the background, obviously, as that little comfort for her to make sure she was all right. So even probably subconsciously, you do it without realising.
Yeah, I do it 100%. But yeah, it is a comfort thing for her as well.
Excellent. I know, obviously, you mentioned previous experiences with the Lionesses and obviously joining briefly last season and then being back this year. I know you don't necessarily need to go into it in too much depth, but I know we're interested to see maybe how your experience, maybe second time round of coming back to Lionesses to this level, and you know, just general atmosphere at the club, and obviously you're coming in as a new player alongside your sister and alongside, you know, 10 other girls. How has it been this time round, embedding with the squad and the manager, and how has it got off?
Well, it's completely different. So it's like the atmosphere around camp, well, just in general, is so much better. I feel like everybody has like a really good relationship with Katie and with each other in general, to be honest, especially over the past 2 weeks. I feel like we've really clicked. Well, we had a social on Sunday where we all went out with each other. We went to mini golf. And it's just like, it's nice to actually be friends with your teammates now, and to come, because it is, when you're a new player coming into a squad with 12 retained players, so they all know each other. It is, even though I did know certain people, it is still a little bit awkward. You've still got to have those conversations again. You've got to introduce yourself, that kind of thing. So, and this time round, it's just been, the girls have just been so, because I will say last season, I felt a little bit isolated, but for reasons I won't go into. So this season has just been completely different, and I'm really enjoying it a lot more than I did last.
Well, this now obviously sort of nicely leads us into the teammates section. So without further ado, if we could have a Nick Hart's jingle.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The team section. The team section.
And thank you, Mr. Hart, for providing that. Listeners who may not be aware, but Strictly Come Dancing this year is behind closed doors. I think they will have some professional singers, so don't be surprised if we see Mr. Hart on stage while Flavia or whoever they are dancing in front of him. Thank you, Nick. So what we will do is we will go straight in, if you don't mind. The rules are you must answer quickly, straight away, probably the first name that comes to your head. And the default answer for anything negative, Ellie, is Nick Farrell.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, so question one, who's the biggest joker?
Charlie.
Charlie Casey, yeah?
Yeah, definitely Charlie, yeah.
Have you got any examples that are clean that we can use?
No, I'm really sorry, but none of them are clean. None of them are actually clean. So
we'll move on.
That'll make her popular fan base. So most intelligent?
Alyssa.
Alyssa Miranda?
Yes.
Okay, sure. I think that's the first we've had for Alyssa. Bless her. Who's the hardest working?
Caitlin.
Caitlin Lewis?
Yeah, I would say Caitlin.
Brilliant.
Good answer. Who's the funniest?
Charlie.
Charlie again is the biggest joker and funniest. We've got a double there. Who's the biggest moaner?
Ooh. Shannon or Kira? Shannon or Kira?
Kira normally gets the ump when Harry Warren, who does Lioness's TV, gets her name wrong. So, yeah, I've seen that firsthand, even though it wasn't his fault.
Or if her kid's
too big. Yeah, and who's, finally, who's the big sister of the group?
Oh, well, it has to be Kelly, though, doesn't it?
Kelly Webster.
Yeah.
Indeed. She gets a lot of the answers. It seems that she has a very arm-round attitude of everyone. So, good answers there. Well done. Some new ones, which we haven't had yet, so that's interesting.
Yeah, some very good ones. I'm always happy with to get a bit of a range of answers going. I think Kelly has got it nailed on as the big sister of the group. I think you can see her, you know, her influence over the squad is a good one. But we're going to move on now to... Well, we've got no game to review this week. Obviously, I mentioned last week that this week's game was cancelled. So we don't have any post-match chat. We don't have any great insight to give you. We don't have any victories to celebrate. I'm sure that will come this weekend. We've got a cup match, Michael. We've got a cup match against Haverhill Rovers. A long old away trip. Me and Harry are currently in talks about how we're going to organise transit. But it's a game in the League Cup. 1:30 kickoff against Haverhill Rovers. How do you see it going?
Personally, I think that I do like the League Cup in the sense that in the early rounds, the way it's chosen, you get teams of very similar quality playing each other. So unless I'm mistaken, and I will stand corrected if I am, if any listener listens and picks me up, but Haverhill Rovers ladies are in the ERWFL North. So basically, our equivalent being the Northern region. So it should be a very tasty game, and in theory, rather competitive and rather similar. It is a long old trek. I'm not going to lie with there or disagree with you, but it is adults £2 on the day, children £1. And yes, the League Cup was one of those last year that we had a good run in. We got through to sort of knockout stages quite far on, and it's a competition we look at quite fondly. And I remember Libby saying at the start of the season about having some eyes on cups that, you know, Millwall, that if we may not win, we'd like to progress in. And this is certainly one of them. Hannah, how do you see this game going?
My name's Ellie.
Ellie. Oh,
come on, Michael.
Cut that out. Sorry. Right. Sorry. It's because I'm looking at my notes where I said you and Hannah. Sorry. So I saw Hannah. Ellie, sorry. That's my fault.
I get it all the time.
No. That is generally my mistake. Sorry, Nick. Cut that out. Ellie, how do you see this game go?
One big thing we've learned this season is that we cannot go into any of these games complacent. So to be honest, I'm gonna say that we need to expect the best and go in playing our best. And hopefully we need to win this game, because I don't know anything about this team, so I'm just gonna assume this is like FA Cup level again, and go in not being complacent, but we really do need to win it, so I hope we win.
Yeah, that complacency is something that Katie's obviously spoken to us a lot about avoiding that and about keeping the professionalism and the performance levels high. I know, like you said, you don't necessarily know much about this opposition. It was the same with the new London Lionesses. But I don't know, from the atmosphere in the squad, from what people are saying, how important do you think it is to try and generate a cup run after, you know, the FA Cup was a real heavy defeat and quite a hard game to take. How is the atmosphere in the squad to get this win, obviously cut after two losses back to back, and hopefully build a bit of a cup run?
Yeah, exactly. I think we're obviously excited because it's exciting to be in cups. It's exciting to think about winning cups. Like that's what we want to do. We want to win cups. We want to win the league. Obviously, there is focus on the league because we want to be moving up higher. But I would say the attitude towards it is that we need to win. I think we want to win the cup. So it's that we want to go in and we want to win it. And especially to make up for it's hard to talk about the New London Lioness one. I'm not over that. So we've got to put that in the past and hopefully go and smash it on Sunday.
Fantastic. That's what we like to hear. So coming towards the end now, Michael, we've got a few announcements. I guess one major announcement. The Lionesses have launched or have announced their official charity partner this season.
Yes, we are partnering with a app called Be My Eyes, which is a real fantastic initiative and a real plus for us and without saying to arrogant, a plus for them as well, that they get exposure. What it is, it's an app that is free to download for those who have sight deficiencies or trouble seeing. And it really just goes to show how, if you was to become a volunteer for this app, so you sign up to volunteer, you can really sort of help someone in their daily life. And it isn't anything, because from our point of view, those who actually have good eyesight or are able to see without aid, if you will, we take things for granted. So even things like reading the back of ingredients on food packaging to see if it's got certain allergens in, you know, someone's blind won't be able to see that. So what it is, it's basically an app where someone who is partially sighted or someone who is blind will call you and they will literally just ask, you know, what is in this, you know, or what colour shirt am I holding up, or, you know, what time is the bus because, you know, you're at a train station, things like that as well. You don't appreciate that with display boards telling you what time trains are, blind people can't see those. So you might, if you was a volunteer, you'd get a phone call and it might be as simple as what time is the next train to Fenchurch Street. To us, that is something we take for granted every day, but to that person who struggles, you have made their day. You've helped them get back home. You've helped them get back on the train. You've helped them carry on with their lives. So it's a wonderful initiative to be a part of. It's a great company to be partnered with. And Ellie, is there anything you want to say about the app?
Well, it's obviously an amazing app and an amazing charity. And I'm definitely going to get involved. So I look forward to not only working with them, but also getting involved with the app myself. Because, yeah, I also think it's such a good idea. Like, whoever thought of that is actually genius. Like, it's such a good idea.
Brilliant. Well, it's always good to see the club and the Lionesses, the MCT, doing some really good charity work. We all know about, you know, the charity work that the MCT does broadly, but, you know, things like this where the Lionesses can get involved, and like Ellie, like you said, I'm sure you won't be the only player getting involved with it, but to have that exposure, like you say, Michael, and the sponsorship is a really positive thing to see from the club.
But, yeah, exactly. And also as well, if we can just have a mention to Catherine Gow, you know, she volunteers her own time for free as a committee member to help the Lionesses get their games on and be a secretary and treasurer combined in that way. So, you know, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that that she does for the Lionesses, but also for the Mill Supporters Club as well, because the Mill Supporters Club are paying for the costs for the logo to appear on the kits this season. So, you know, it's not even going to cost the charity any money. It's not going to cost the Lionesses any money. It's all coming from the Mill Supporters Club. So to a degree, even though it's an agreement between the Lionesses and Be My Eyes, all Mill supporters are actually helping as well, which if you're a Mill supporters personally, which I am, is great to be a part of.
Fantastic. Well, all that is left to say then is thank you, Michael, for joining me again on another episode. I'm sure we'll see you on Sunday, come rain or shine. You know, we'll be hitting down that motorway, I think, me and Harry Warren together to be at that game on Sunday. But thank you very much, Michael.
No problem at all. Always a pleasure. You know, this is one of the highlights of the week.
Fantastic. And Ellie, thank you again so much for coming on. It's been great to have you on.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. This has been really fun. Really
not a problem. Not a problem. And all that is left then, Ellie, is for you to wrap up with your best. Bye for now.
Have we lost microphone?
No, so I got nervous.
Go for it.
Okay, bye. For now. There you go.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.